Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Zachary sent me a link. So Steve, check this story out about another attorney doing something wrong. And, you know, I've done a couple videos lately about bad attorneys, attorneys doing stuff that they shouldn't be and getting caught. And I mentioned before, attorneys need to be held to a higher standard. And I agree with that 100%. But once in a while, you see a story where you're like, whoa, did you really do that? So here's a story out of Massachusetts about an attorney who got caught doing something and literally just said, you know something, I'm done. I'll resign from the bar and stop being a lawyer. So I found the actual judgment from the Board of Bar Overseers, and it's an order, actually, but it does say judgment accepting affidavit of resignation as a disciplinary sanction regarding a man named Kenneth Levine. And this was entered by the Massachusetts Board of Bar Overseers of the Supreme Judicial Court on March 1st, 2021, with an effective date of March 31st, 2021. And it does say if you want a copy of the complete order of the court, it's available by contacting the clerk of the Supreme Judicial Court for Suffolk County. The respondent's affidavit of resignation admitted that bar counsel could prove by a preponderance of the evidence that he violated rules 1.5, 3.3, 4.1, 8.1, and 8.4, C, D, and H of the Massachusetts Rules of Professional Conduct. So I got to back up and explain to you. The man was accused of something as an attorney. They said, you did something as an attorney that was wrong. You're going to be brought up on charges. Then they told him what the charges were going to be. He then said, you know something? I believe that you guys can prove everything you're alleging. I'm done here. To save you the trouble of going through it, I'm simply going to resign from the bar. And so he filed an affidavit with the board saying, I concede everything. I concede everything. No fight here, no argument here. I'm just resigning from the bar. And I basically admit that I did these things, including violating all those rules. Now, the rules they're referring to are the rules of professional conduct. And states have rules whereby attorneys conduct themselves. Michigan, it's the Michigan Rules of Professional Conduct, the MRPC. And the rules actually talk about how an attorney must behave in court, how an attorney must interact with clients, how attorneys must interact with each other. And they actually do define it that way. And they talk about these things as rules. You cannot do this. You may do this. You cannot do this. And so, in connection with the respondent's representation of a plaintiff in litigation against the U.S. government, he signed the name of the assistant United States attorney to a settlement document without her knowledge or authorization. That's what he's accused of doing. So back up here. This attorney is representing somebody, the plaintiff. They have filed a lawsuit against the United States government. Somewhere along the line, a settlement document got drafted. And this attorney signed his opponent's signature to the document without her knowledge or authorization. Now, most people, without going to law school, would know that's wrong. I sign my name to stuff. I don't sign your name to stuff. You sign your name to stuff. You don't sign my name to stuff. Now, it's true that you can authorize someone to sign a name to something, but it does say without her knowledge or authorization. So he signed it. He shouldn't have, and that was the accusation. So in addition, the document in question contained terms that were different than those agreed to by the government. So they were working on a settlement. Don't know the facts of the case, but they're working on a settlement. And they agree to a settlement. And the allegation is that this attorney drafted a settlement agreement that didn't reflect those terms, but reflected something else, and then he signed her name to that. So when questioned by the federal judge about the matter, the respondent's explanation that the unauthorized signature was inadvertent was intentionally false, misleading, and deceptive. He inadvertently signed someone else's name to a document that didn't match the agreement that he had with that person. Inadvertent. That's a lawyer word, inadvertent. Also in connection with the same litigation, the respondent intentionally inflated the litigation expenses for which he sought reimbursement out of the settlement proceeds. So the allegation is, he lied to the court by signing the name of his opposing counsel to a document that she didn't agree to. And then apparently turned around and tried to take advantage of his client, which again is something else that he shouldn't be doing. During the course of the investigation, the respondent made intentional misrepresentations to bar counsel about the foregoing events. So they started an investigation, and counsel for the Massachusetts bar were investigating this, and they came to the conclusion that the guy was making intentional misrepresentations to them. Some would call those lies, but again, intentional misrepresentation is the lawyer talk for the regular language where we'd say lie. The misrepresentations included the submission of falsified invoices to support his claim for expenses in the litigation. So they say, when they said, by the way, dude, we think you're ripping off your client over here. Can you explain this? They say that he then gave them falsified documents to back up his claims. Dude, stop digging. It's just getting worse. He also intentionally misrepresented material facts during an examination under oath by bar counsel, including his unauthorized signature on the settlement documents. Now, he's apparently under oath, being examined, hence examination under oath, and they say that he intentionally misrepresented material facts. So, do I have to explain this? He's under oath, and he's not telling the truth to the investigators from the state bar. Just think about that for a moment, if you will. So, on January 4th, 2021, the respondent filed with the Board of Bar Overseers an affidavit of resignation, acknowledging that bar counsel could prove the allegations in the petition for discipline by a preponderance of the evidence. And on January 11th, 2021, the board unanimously recommended that the respondent's resignation be accepted as a disciplinary sanction. So the process was ongoing, the investigation was continuing, and during that investigation, he actually said, you know something, guys, I quit. I quit the bar. Here's the affidavit. And the bar looked at it and said, you know something? That's the sanction. You're no longer a lawyer. So on March 1st, 2021, the Supreme Judicial Court for Suffolk County accepted that and so ordered it. And so then there's a much longer document here, I'm guessing, I don't know, 5-6 pages. But it lays this out in painful detail regarding this attorney who's been practicing law in Massachusetts. And don't know if this is an isolated incident because, number one, it's not a single incident. It's a bunch of incidents. So it starts with a settlement document gets filed with the court. And somebody says, wait a second, that person whose signature is on it didn't sign it, didn't approve it, didn't know about the signature. And the document doesn't agree with what these two had agreed to. So you're... instinct would be to look at that and say, that doesn't sound inadvertent. You made the terms better for your client and then forged someone's name to it and signed, and filed that with the court? That doesn't sound right. But then when called on that, okay, started making other false statements. Oh, it was inadvertent that I signed that. And oh, by the way, you know, these extra charges for my client, I've got some documents I can dummy. I mean, I got some documents I can show you as to why I owe that money. And then when being examined under oath, again, is found to be telling tales that aren't true. And so, you know, I've said before, people can make mistakes. Mistakes happen. Error is human, right? But when you make one mistake and you say, you know something, I made a mistake. Let's do something about this. I'm not going to say just, hey, I'm sorry I made a mistake and I get to walk away from it. But If someone makes a mistake and they own up to the mistake, then you say, okay, do we sanction them, discipline them? What do we do to do, you know, to take care of this? And what can they do to fix the mistake? But when someone makes a bunch of mistakes and then starts doing things to cover up the mistakes, then you look at it and go, okay, this is more of a systemic thing here. This is not one mistake or two mistakes. And there's a serious problem when someone gets caught, nailed, dead to rights, and instead of just saying, hey, I made a mistake, or I screwed up, or whatever, you know, to start fabricating evidence, because that's what the implication is when they said they had documents to support inflated charges that were not substantiated. It sounds like there was an attempt to, you know, send in some fake documents to try to cover this up. And then when you are under oath and you're testifying to the people from the Bar Association, and it's their job to police the Bar Association, and they're asking you questions under oath, and you lie to them, okay, at this point, it's just, it's completely off the rails. This is completely off the rails. So the guy decided at the very end of it all, you know something, I'm just going to resign from the bar, and I quit. So I don't know if there's anything beyond this, because I glanced at this to see. A lot of times with a bar disciplinary proceeding, they'll also levy fines and costs. They'll make the person pay for the cost of the hearings and so on. Because these attorneys who are conducting the hearings for the bar, they got to get paid, right? And so the same way that you get hit with court costs, if you go to court and lose or found guilty of something, there'll often be fines and court costs. And so they'll often have the costs associated with the investigation by the bar. So I don't know if there's anything more beyond this, but it sounds like, at least in this one case, there's a whole bunch of screwy stuff happening. Because remember, it all started with one lawsuit. The guy filed against the U.S. government had actually apparently worked out a settlement. But why the document reflected different terms and then had a forged signature on it, that's a problem. So, you know, it sounds like a good outcome in the sense that the guys decided to leave the practice of law. But I don't know if anything else is going to happen. People will invariably ask, and I'll tell you the answer, can he simply go to another state and practice law? And the answer is not that easily, because when you go someplace and seek to enter the bar, they'll often make you take the bar if you are not admitted to practice elsewhere. So right now, this man is no longer licensed to practice law in the state of Massachusetts. Well, apparently, to be technical, he is. The affidavit actually says they're going to give him a little bit of time to wind up his practice. So it's not practicing law in that sense, but he's winding up his practice, meaning that he's got open and active files. He's either got to get these files resolved or handed over to other attorneys. But once all of that stuff is done and he confirms that to the court, then he's done and he's out of the Massachusetts bar. I don't know if he's licensed anywhere else, but let's assume for a moment that he's not. If he's not licensed anywhere else, if he walks into another state and says, I want to practice law here, the first thing to do is say, okay, you got to take the bar exam and you got to fill out all the applications and stuff. We got to do character and fitness. Character and fitness, they look at your background. And in the character and fitness, they're going to actually ask you, have you ever been licensed to practice law anywhere else? If yes, where? Are you still licensed there? If no, why not? And when you say, oh, I resigned from the bar because I got caught signing someone else's name to a document that didn't comport to the understanding between the parties. And then I was found to have lied to the bar examiners who were investigating this. They're not going to let you in. So could he theoretically practice law? Yeah, theoretically. He could apply someplace and they might let him in. But it's such a high hurdle to get over that it probably wouldn't even be worth trying. So I've never heard of an example of somebody who got disbarred, ejected, ousted from the bar in a state and simply went to another state and applied and got in. I've never heard of that. It might have happened. I've never heard of it. But obviously, if somebody is in a state and they stop practicing law, not for disciplinary reason, they just simply stop practicing. If I stopped paying my dues, I would no longer be a member of the bar. And if I stopped paying my dues and then I woke up one morning and said, you know something, I feel like practicing law in Ohio. Sounds like fun. And I went down to Ohio and said, I want to get in down here. What do I do? And they said, okay, you know, fill out an application. You have to take the bar exam, blah, 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 blah. Have you ever practiced law elsewhere? Yeah, Michigan, 30 years. Still licensed there? No. Why not? I let my license lapse. Was there any reason why you did that? No, wanted to save a couple $100. Why do you want to practice law now? Changed my mind. Why Ohio? Sounded like fun. Okay, pass the bar, you'll probably get in, you know. But then again, it's Ohio, all bets are off. So, and don't freak out if you're from Ohio. A few people in the audience will know this. There's the joke about the tension between Michigan and Ohio. So I'm not making fun of Ohio. I'm simply saying that Ohio would probably go, hey, he's from Michigan. Let's give him a hard time. And I wouldn't blame you. So there you go. The man has basically resigned from the bar after he was found to have signed someone else's name to a document as if it agreed with their agreement, which it didn't. When he got caught, he made statements indicating that it was inadvertent. When being examined by the bar itself, they found him to be untruthful, and they also thought he may have ripped off his clients, and when called on that, he may have provided false documentation regarding that as well. None of these are good things, but he's no longer a lawyer. At least he won't be very much longer. So there you go. Zachary, thanks for sending it. Questions or comments, put them below. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Some people walk in the rain. Others just get wet.